Welcome to this inspiring message brought to you by Kingsword Media Outreach, a part of Kingsword Ministries International. We hope this teaching inspires you and transforms you into all that God has destined you to be. Please stay tuned for more information about Kingsword Ministries International following this message. May God bless you as you listen.
Your head while you're seated. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that the entrance of your word will become simple. The entrance of your word will bring illumination, will bring understanding. Clarity will come in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that this atmosphere be filled with your presence, O God. And as we receive instructions from you, we are changed and transformed to be everything that you have created us to be. In the name of Jesus. Glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. So welcome to the second service. And in this service, I feel very strong in my heart to emphasize certain things in a direction that God has led us to talk about. And the focus is broken. Broken. If you have my artwork, please, media, can you put it up? Broken, but feet for the master's use. We're talking about the finished work of redemption. The work that Christ has done for you and I is a finished work. It's a finished work. Someone say it's a finished work. Say it's complete. Nothing can be added. Nothing can be subtracted from it. It's a finished work. And very interestingly, the way I want to zero in on today is what I call story. Someone says story. You know, growing up, when someone is trying to tell you a lie or try to tell you something, you say, story. You know, exactly. So by the end of this service, there are certain things that will happen to you and you will tell the person, story. Someone look at your neighbor, say, story. No. You have to do it with an attitude, story. You know, when someone is trying to tell you something that, you know, it's unbelievable. You look at the person and say, story. So the next time the devil looks at you after today and tell you you cannot be something, what would you do? Exactly. So it's story. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What does it mean to be broken? The truth of the matter is that we're all broken. Every one of us, we're broken. We're broken. We're not straight. That's not a straight that I mean. We're straight. Okay. So we're broken. We're faulty one way or another. Okay. So your broken state is useful, but it's only useful in the hands of the master. So brokenness does not mean you cannot be used. Brokenness does not mean that you cannot access grace or function by grace or walk in the things that God has called you to know. Your brokenness also guarantees you to be used of God. So the state of your brokenness means that you can be useful, but however, you have to be useful in the hands of the master. You know, certain people, because of their broken state, they pride themselves in the fact that they are broken. So they just decide to stay in that state. But your broken state is not an excuse for a mediocre lifestyle by saying, this is who I am. I can't help it. Yes, you cannot help it, but God can. You may not be able to do anything about it, but God can. Outside Christ Jesus, your broken, unstable state can be very, very obvious. But when you come into Christ, He hides all that brokenness. He takes it away and then He clothes you afresh with something brand new. So rather than dwelling with the fact that you're not able to do something or you don't have capacity for something and you rather just stay the way you are, why not come to Christ and then He will take hold of that brokenness and make something good of it? Someone shout hallelujah. So you're outside Christ, your broken, unstable state is very obvious, very obvious. It says, I am who I am by the grace of God. If not for the grace of God, I would have been like this or I would have been like that. But God's grace is obvious and evident on my life, and it's covering all my mistakes, covering all my errors. You know, there are some things that I do at times, and I just say to myself, you know, there's nowhere under this earth that you would have thought of that. But there is a way the glory of God and the grace of God just covers your errors, covers your mistakes, and, you know, just empowers you sometimes on a Sunday evening. By the time I get home, I'm like a log of wood. And then I just want to sleep. And I'm asking myself, how did you do it? How did you do it? You're ministering both services. How did you do it? And then you get home and you're like knocked out completely. So I realized that left to me, I'd rather not do some things. But when grace steps in, it covers a lot of things. It comes upon you and you are able to do the things that you cannot do. That's what happens when we realize that, look, though we are broken, but we have a God that specializes in using broken things. Hallelujah. He specializes in using broken things. I preached the message sometime that emptiness has a purpose. You know, because when you see something that is empty, the general idea is that it is good for nothing. It cannot be used. But then there was this donkey. Imagine the donkey staying there, and then every time the other donkeys pass, they say, you are here. You're just going to be here. You're useless for nothing. Nobody's buying you. Nobody's riding you. Nobody's doing anything with you. And then they're all going to the market. They come back. They see him there. He stays there, and then he's crying. Nobody knows my sorrow. And then it's all mushy-washy and everything. But then the master came one day and said, get me the donkey on whom no man has ridden. At that point, that donkey became the most useful donkey in the city. At that point, that donkey that looked like it was broken and that nobody wanted, nobody would use, became what the master wanted. Do you know that if anybody wants to buy that donkey at that time, the value had gone up? That's what happens when you look at your life and you feel like your life has no value, and then God steps in. All of a sudden, your value goes up. All of a sudden, the things that you think are worthless about you, because Christ has stepped in, all of a sudden it goes up. All of a sudden, everybody wants to hear you. All of a sudden, your voice is heard. All of a sudden, you matter in society. Glory to God, because Christ has stepped in. So the issue is not to seek to be unbroken, but to take that which is broken and make good out of it. What I mean is that many a times, you know, as children of God, we want to come out of that brokenness. We want to say, God, you know, I would have given myself for you to use me if not for this thing in my life. So what we try to do is we try to help ourselves. We try to come out of that brokenness by ourselves. We try to mend ourselves so that he can use us. We try to piece together ourselves so that he can use us. We try to arrange things and say, God, you know what? I'm not going to serve you now because I'm not just okay. I'm not feeling good. I'm angry about a lot of things. So anything church, anybody should just leave me right now. This is not the best of time for me. I'm emotionally not available. What you're trying to do is you're trying to fix yourself so that he can use you. But what did he say? He said, come as you are. The very same way you are. I'm the one that will do the fixing. I'm the one that will do the mending. I'm the one that will do the piecing together of your life. So come as you are. Bring yourself the way you are. You can't mend yourself and come for me to use you. I specialize in mending broken pieces. I specialize in using people who are broken. I specialize in using you in spite of your faults and your error. That's my specialty. So you can't mend yourself and bring yourself to me to be used. No. That's my specialty. In Genesis, God witnessed the broken world. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. So here is God Almighty witnessing a broken world, witnessing something that has damaged. But he didn't stop there. He didn't say, look, the earth is a mess. I can't use it. The earth is not good. It's void. It's empty. There is nothing there. I can't use it. And that's the way most people see themselves. I have nothing to offer God. Why will God use me? Because I have nothing for him to use. No, he's not asking for what you have for him to use. He's asking to use you as you are empty. He fills you and then you fulfill his purpose. That's what he's asking. He's not asking for a gift that he didn't give you. He's not asking for a resource that he didn't give you. He's asking to give you the gift and to give you the resource and then to use you for his purpose. So he saw a broken earth. And then the Bible says the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God began to speak. Though you're broken, though you're empty, though there is nothing inside, but then I can use you. I can make something out of you. I can make something out of you. In Matthew, Jesus told them, I've not come to scatter what has already been scattered. I've come to make it good. It says in verse 17 of chapter 5, it says, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I've not come to do it. Why did they think that he had come to abolish the law and the prophets in the first place? Why? Because they felt it wasn't good enough. It wasn't delivering what it should deliver. So they felt Jesus will just come and just scatter the whole thing. And you know, no, but he said, I've come to fulfill them. So you cannot be more broken than you are already. So why do you want to give Satan the upper hand? To cause you additional torment. Where you are already, understand that it's a broken state. It's a broken world already. So your qualification to be used of God has nothing to do with what you can do to add to it or subtract from it. No. But what most people do is they give Satan the upper hand and they disqualify themselves even before the Lord shows up. Even before the Lord shows up. Adam was broken, but he served the purpose of betting humanity. In that broken state, God used him for the human race. What is the thing that you are holding on to that appears that it's stopping you from giving your all to God? Stopping you from laying all at the altar and say, God, you know what? I think it's time. Just use me. Where do I start from? What do I do? I've held back for too long. Just use me. I'm tired of counting the things that I have and the things I don't have. I'm tired of delaying because of what I perceive that I cannot do. I'm tired of all that. I'm tired of waiting to arrive before you can use me. I'm tired of waiting to achieve this or achieve that before you can use me. In my broken state, use me, Lord. If God can use Adam to bet humanity, who are you? When Adam sinned, God didn't say, cancel, let's create another man. No, he didn't do that. He could have done that. He's God Almighty. The easiest thing for God to do is to cancel. Don't you think so? Even you, when you're writing an exam, what do? You cancel. Some of you will say, no, give me another sheet. But God didn't do that. He didn't ask for another sheet. He took the broken Adam and began to find a way to make the best out of him. God will never cancel you. Tell your neighbor that. He will use you the way you are. Abraham was broken, but served the purpose of God, being the father of faith. The father of faith. He could have disqualified himself from a pagan home that how can God use me? To do what? To do what? What could I possibly have that God wants? That's the question most people ask themselves. Say, God will use you. How? Me. Me. And then you begin to look at yourself and look at the state of your brokenness, thinking that God only uses people who are posh and just cool, calm, collected, everything made. No. 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 So the next time someone approaches you and tells you, that's, have you seen some people say, you, choir. You, usher. Because they knew you before. Come on. And you now come one day and say, I've been ordained a pastor. They will first laugh. Say, my guy, if not play stuff that Timo go drink, Jerry. You understand? Because they can't believe it. Because they know you. Ah, my G. That guy, forget that. If that joke, stop him. I remember some years ago when the rave of Jesus is coming was all over town and everywhere. I wasn't even saved then. I knew a couple of my friends who, man, those guys were bad boys to the core. They came to preach to me that Jesus is coming, so you need to be saved. I say, you, how? And they were preaching and preaching. I would look at them like, ah. You know, there are some people you look at and say, if you make heaven, make I bend. You know, yeah, because you can't believe that. Some people have said that, look, if I see you for heaven, I will turn back, go hell. Because they make those statements because they've seen how broken you are. And that God cannot use you. That's the human mind. That's the way we view people. But God in his awesomeness, he's the one that makes people. He's the one that molds them. And he doesn't ask any questions at all. He doesn't tell you, go fix yourself and come to me. He says, come as you are. I will do the fixing. I will do the mending. I will do everything. And then I will show you to the world. No matter what the world says. So the next time you look, someone tells you, you, are you sure your pastor was right to ordain you? You look at the person and say, story. Say, you can never say, I've made up my mind. This season, I want to go on a 3-day fast. Say, you can never fast. You will like food like any other thing. But you've changed. God is working on you. So you look at them and say, story. Glory to God. Abraham was broken. Moses was broken. But he served the purpose of delivering Israel out of Egypt. He served that purpose. Look all through scripture. When God comes to anyone, he doesn't come there to ask them, are you ready? Do you have the qualities that I'm looking for? Let me see your LinkedIn profile to see where you have worked before. Like when you want to get a job, they tell you they need 20 years experience. You say, Oga, please, who will give me the 20 years experience? You to give me this one. You're asking for 20 years. Who will give me? God doesn't come to you like that. To say, okay, tell me, where have you served before? Where have you worked? Have you pastored before? God doesn't do that. Imagine the thief on the cross. I mean, the guy made heaven without attending church one day. But if you are the one at heaven's gate, you will ask him, okay, what's the name of your senior pastor? Say, I've never been to church. Say, how did you make it here? How did you make it here? If some of us were at heaven's gate, we'll send that guy back. Because we have been in church, we have served, the guy has not done one thing. And you will start remembering when you will carry speaker and carry chair and everything. And you say, this guy did not even do one thing. This is partial, Jesus. It can't happen. But that's who he is. He specializes in using broken pieces and mending them together because it has nothing to do with you and everything to do with him. Everything to do with him. He died for all, including you. So that guy standing on the cross, just nothing. Imagine, he did nothing. That guy, nothing. And made heaven. David was broken, but he served his generation. And God called him a man after my heart. We need to ask God, please, what did you see in David? Because that guy is a bad guy. What did you see in him that he's after your heart? Say, have you seen this? That guy, they keep people low. God. He said, but he's a man after my heart. After my heart. That guy is a bad guy. Acts 13 and 36, he says, for David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. After he had served his own generation, God will not ask you for your resume. He wants to give you a resume. That's what he wants to do. So the very same way you are, you approach the throne of grace, and that's where you obtain mercy and you find grace to help just as you are in your broken state. It's not an excuse to say, hey, naso abi, just leave him. No. You are coming to him and saying, Lord, this is the way I am, but mold me, make me. Make me something. So the next time life throws things at you and tell you that, look, you cannot be used of God, what do you say? Story. And he said, what do you mean story? He said, check the stories of the Bible. You will see that it's story. Because he specializes in using broken pieces. And everyone he has used, broken. Imagine if Peter had said to himself that, oh, you know what? I've denied Jesus. Nothing good can come out of me. Because a lot of times we fall into that trap. Because we've done something wrong. Because we've erred in one way or another. We disqualify ourselves from being used of God in anything. But Jesus told him, I've prayed for you. That Satan will not have you. But when you have returned, strengthen your brethren. And in the same vein, you don't give up on people just because they are the way they are. You don't give up on them because you didn't die for them. Christ did. And if he died for them and he died for you also, then it is to him we will look and not to ourselves. And not to ourselves. And then when you see people like that, imagine Gideon, when God will come to him and say, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Would Gideon look around and say, God, why did he whine me now? That's it. Because he can't see himself like that. He can't see himself like that. Say, thou mighty man of valor. Say, who? Me. God, if not joke, stop him. That's the same way. When David was in the cave, the Bible says some people came to meet him. How did he describe them? Pastor Paul, help me out. He said, disgruntled. Eh? What are the qualifications the Bible used? Disgruntled men, people of that are going nowhere. Going nowhere. They came to meet him. And after a while, the Bible described them as the mighty men of David. Of David. So you see yourself now. Some things are not obviously okay in your life. But then you are disqualifying yourself that, I remember, you know, growing up, my best friend and I, we said that we're going to get married at 25. You know, we're excited about it. We're 20 and all that. Oh, 25. I'm all 25, come, nothing sure. And then it felt like, look, something was wrong. Something was wrong. I mean, why didn't we get married at 25? What was happening? But it came and it went. So because the time came and went doesn't mean that we're not going to get married afterwards. But when the time came, he got married, I got married, and life moved on. So the next time something stares you in the face and says, look, it's looking like that thing you are believing God for will not come, what do you say? Story. The most beautiful phrase in scripture is that, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. Why? Because no matter how broken a system is, no matter how broken something is, the moment you hand it over to Jesus, he begins to fix it. And sometimes he doesn't fix it right before your eyes, but he uses that broken state to bring him glory. Ask the blind man. It says, who sinned that this man was born blind? That's the nature of man. We want to look for a fault. There is nothing wrong with you. Tap your neighbor and say, there is nothing wrong with you. He said, who sinned that this man was made blind? He said, look, it's not a matter of who sinned. They were asking, it must be his mother, it must be his father, something must be. Is it every time that something is wrong that you are under a curse? Come on, is it every time? Say, as I'm looking at you now, because this thing is not working, it's been, you know, there's a term we use for it, the spirit of almost there. Who told you there's a spirit of almost there? Who did? Say, anytime I try to, I have to go to the village. Let me go and find out for my father what he did, or find out for my mother what he did. Excuse me. Who told you that? Stay under the word. Allow the word. Say, who did sin that this man was made blind? That is the mindset that they had. Because this thing is broken, there must be something wrong. Jesus said, it's not a matter of who did sin. He said, but that the glory of God will come out of this. That's the most important thing. He told them, he said, why wait for that? Why you can wait for, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. Tap your neighbor, say, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. Even the devil is serving the purpose of God. How much more you? How much more you? You think the devil is in charge and doing things? Oh, story. He is serving the purpose of God. How much more you? Stand to your feet. I don't care the state that you are. I don't care what's staring you in the face and saying to you, you cannot amount to anything. That look, you are too broken for God to use you. You've done too much crime. You've done too much evil for God to use you. You've done so many bad things that God can't use you. The state that you are, some people even say even the devil will reject you. If that's as bad as your state is, I'm here to tell you that you are perfect for the master's use. And in that state, he will bring glory. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Is someone excited to know that God can use me the way that I am? And I am fit for the master's use, just the way I am. So the only thing is, are you coming? Are you bringing yourself for him to be used of you? Are you presenting yourself the way you are for him to use you? Or you're looking for qualifications? Things that will qualify you. Justifications. You are looking for to be right first before you come. No, that's not what we're looking for. We're not coming to him. We're not trying to be right to come to him. We're coming to him so that he will make us right. Glory to God. Have you been blessed this morning? Lift your hands to him and worship him. Thank you, precious Father. Thank you, precious Father. Oh, we just bless you. We just bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because you qualify us. Oh, in the state that we are, you qualify us. Thank you, Father. We come just the way we are. Oh, broken but yet fit for your use, oh God. Broken but useful in your hands, oh God. Thank you, Father. We present ourselves before you, Lord, in the very state that we are, knowing that you can use us to fulfill your purpose on the face of this earth. Come and lift those hands to him and say, Lord, I surrender to you. In my broken state, I surrender to you to be used of you to fulfill your purpose, to fulfill your plan on the face of this earth. I surrender to you. I lay everything at your feet, oh God. I lay everything at your feet, oh God. I lay everything at your feet. I lay everything at your feet. Oh, thank you, precious Father. Thank you, precious Father. Glory to God. Come on, put those hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Very quickly, I want to pray for all the leaders. So this year, we had a new leadership restructure. So I'm going to call all the teams, and then you'll come out with your team. And I'll just pray for you as instructed by God and induct you and release grace on you for the next season of leadership. The next season of leadership. So everyone in HOP, that's the music team, the leader, just come with your team. Come on, put your hands together for them. Very quickly, very quickly, very quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Stretch forth your hand over them. In the name of Jesus, the grace for the next season. Every season, God releases grace. He releases grace. He releases grace. The grace for the next season is upon you now. In the name of Jesus. I touch you. Just go back to your seat. The grace for the next season is upon you now. In the name of Jesus. That grace for the next season is upon you now. In the name of Jesus. It's upon you now. In the name of Jesus. It's upon you now in the name of Jesus. The grace is upon you now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for them. Hallelujah. And next up is the media team. Come on, celebrate Jesus. Please come, come, come quickly, come quickly. Thank you, Father. Oh, Shatabarabahaya. Thank you, Lord. Church, stretch forth your hand over them and speak and declare that God's grace is released afresh upon them this season in the name of Jesus. At the function in the house of God, at the function in the things of God, that the God of heaven, please come with your team. Yeah. Yes. As the function in the house of God and the things of God, that the God of heaven expands his tabernacle over them and all that is theirs in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the grace is upon you to function. In the name of Jesus, the grace is upon you to function. The grace is upon you to function. In the name of Jesus, the grace is upon you to function. The grace is upon you to function. In the name of Jesus, the grace is upon you to function. In the name of Jesus, God's grace is upon you to function. In the name of Jesus, God's grace is upon you to function. In the name of Jesus, the grace to lead comes upon you. In the name of Jesus, fresh anointing, ideas, wisdom, insight. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, celebrate Jesus. Can we have the hospitality? Please come with your team. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Church, stretch forth your hand towards them and speak that God's grace rests upon them afresh in the name of Jesus. In this new season, there will be multiplication, there will be increase in the name of Jesus. That God will walk in them the things that he wants to do for the season in the name of Jesus. Fresh grace upon you. Fresh grace upon you. Fresh grace upon you. Fresh grace upon you. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Put your hands together for them. Can I have the ministries? Okay, now let me go to the pastoral care teams. Children ministry. Please. Children ministry. Quickly, 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 quickly. Come with your team. Hallelujah. Church, stretch forth your hand and speak God's grace over them now in the name of Jesus. The grace to walk with the children, nurture them and train them in the way of the Lord. The grace to administer to them the life of God. That grace, let it be released upon them for the next season in the name of Jesus. Let them function by divine wisdom, function by divine insight in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, stretch forth your hand and speak over them that grace comes upon them for this new season in the name of Jesus. Fresh grace for the new season. Fresh grace for the new season in the name of Jesus. An impartation of ideas, wisdom for the next season in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God. Can I have everyone in management team? Can you please just come forward? Thank you, precious Father. Okay, before that, where's CH? Okay, management team, just give me a minute. Creative Hub, where are you? Come. Thank you, precious Father. Glory to God. Ideas that flows in the name of Jesus. Groundbreaking ideas, insights, and revelation in the name of Jesus. From God's presence in the name of Jesus. Creative thoughts and thinking pattern in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Finance team, come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Church, stretch forth your hand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Church, stretch forth your hand and speak God's wisdom over them. Speak God's wisdom over them. Then the area of finance, that God will grace them. God will grace them with thoughts, grace them with ideas, with insight, revelation knowledge on how to manage resources. Come on, go ahead and declare that for this next season, there will be increase in finances. There will be multiplication, increase in your life in the name of Jesus. That for this next season, that God will move in ways and dimensions that we've never seen before. We've never seen before. Come on, go ahead and speak and declare that that becomes the move of God for the season in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Fresh grace for this season. In the name, as you manage God's resources, God multiplies your resource. As you manage God's resources, God multiplies your resource. In the name of Jesus. As you manage the resources of God, God multiplies your resource. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can I have the heads of all... No, not the heads. Management team, come. Thank you. That's fine. Management team, come quickly. Yeah. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. For this next season, my heart desire for you is that you'll operate in wisdom that is beyond you. In wisdom that is beyond you. Wisdom. That people will ask, what are you people doing in that church? Because of the wisdom that God will give to you. Oh, I feel an anointing. Thank you, precious Father. Oh, walk in wisdom this season. In the name of Jesus. Walk in wisdom this season. In the name of Jesus. Walk in wisdom this season. In the name of Jesus. Walk in wisdom this season. In the name of Jesus. Walk in wisdom this season. Walk in wisdom this season. In the name of Jesus. Stretch forth your hand. Everything that God has put inside of me and more, may you operate on a higher level in the name of Jesus. Grace and wisdom that you've never seen before, this season, may you operate on that level in the name of Jesus. The depth of things that are in my heart that I cannot accomplish, may God empower you to accomplish them in the name of Jesus. As you lead this team, may you operate on a dimension that commands authority in the name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Father, in Jesus' holy name. Church, put your hands together for everyone. So the heads of all these teams, can you come? Those of you that are the heads of all this team, hospitality, media, finance, tribe, heads of tribe, heads of Creative Hub, heads of media, yeah. No, come. She's standing for something else. You're standing for something else. No. Juliet, come. Glory to God. Okay, so church, face the church. Thank you. Church, please celebrate them. They've been marked out and separated by God to lead the church in this next season. So come next year, February, March, we'll evaluate your performance. Glory to God. Please celebrate them. They are good people in the hands of God. Thank you and God bless you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You know, everything we're doing right now as a church is when God gives us instruction, we just try to run with those instructions. We try to move with those instructions. This week, we're planning to change the stage, rock the entire thing, and rock the entire auditorium. Isn't that great? Wouldn't you love that? Come on, celebrate Jesus. Glory to God. We're planning to do that this week. We're planning to put some light in here and have some lighting effect on the stage and a few other things here and there as well. And then in about a week or two, we're going to install a brand new 25 to 30 kVA generator. Come on, someone celebrate Jesus for that. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. And God has just been faithful. Now, some of you are here now, and then some other people will be here later. I mean, those of you who were here when we started church, we were not like this. I mean, the first time we had service, it was just a few of us, myself, Kola, a few people, Pastor Tayo, and we had church. It was just one long auditorium. If we talk, you hear, it will echo, you know. But now God has been faithful, and God has been faithful. Can I have my video media, you know, seeing where we were and where we're going? So it's step by step. It's a gradual process, all right? It's a gradual process. The fact that we are somewhere doesn't mean that we don't have a vision to go where we want to go. All right, so we're heading somewhere and God is taking us step by step. I call it the journey so far. So this is how we started. We started in my house. She's Uncle Kola's neck. See, Kola, your wife is laughing. We started in my house. Yeah. Ibuku over there with my wife, she's in Canada now with her husband. This was our auditorium. This was this place when we started. Yeah. This was when we started walking on the stage to get it done. The faithfulness of God. We can't overemphasize God's faithfulness. See the entire stretch. Who would have thought? Come on, who would have thought? Come on, church. Who would have thought that all these can be transformed to look like this? It's the faithfulness of God. But now, this is where we are. This is where we are. Moving from that kind of place to this. It's only the faithfulness of God and the goodness of God. Over the years, and it's just 3 years, this is the fourth year, right? And the faithfulness of God keeps expanding and keeps expanding and keeps expanding. And then you are here now. You know, I'm enjoying the goodness of God, enjoying the faithfulness of God. But we're not going to stop there. We're going to move from all this that God is doing, and trusting him step by step to take us to a better place. But then you have to have the vision. You have to know where you're going as a church. And God has put it in our heart to know where we're going. So we're taking it step by step and trusting him that he will lead us eventually to that place. All this was not there. Sometimes I will come to the office, just walk around the whole place, speaking and declaring. Now, this is where we're going. 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 Is someone with me on this? Come on. This is where we're going. This is where we're going. This is where we're going. Because I know that the God who has been faithful will continue to remain faithful. When we were not like this and we were doing this whole stage and everything, I was taking pictures. I took those pictures deliberately because I know that I will tell a story. I know that I'm not going to be like this. So we're taking pictures now because I know there's a story coming. There's a story coming. So before too long, you say, and Pastor said it, because we're going there. That's where we're going. And it came to pass. It came to pass. Come on, celebrate Jesus. Celebrate Jesus. Let me read something to you in the book of Haggai. Haggai chapter 2. The Lord was talking to me about this morning. He said, who is left in verse 3? Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? So how do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? He said, yet now, be strong. That's the message the Lord was telling me this morning. He said, say to the leadership of this church, be strong, declares the Lord. Be strong, Zerubbabel, Joshua, every one of you, all of you leaders and heads of teams, be strong in the Lord. All you people of Kingswood International Church, be strong, declares the Lord. Say, walk, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. According to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt, he said, my spirit remains in your midst. He says, fear not. That's what God is telling me to tell the leadership of this church. So my spirit remains with you. Fear not. Say, for thus says the Lord, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, so that the treasures of all nations shall come in. He said, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. He says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. He said, don't be afraid of how we're going to get there. He said, I will cause the resources of nations to come to you. He said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. He said, fear not. He said, my spirit is with you. He said, you've seen what I've done before, how I've brought you from where you were to where you are now. He said, but have courage that I can take you. He said, I will fill this house with glory. He said, the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former. And in this place, I will give peace. I will give peace. Come on, just lift your hands and appreciate God. Appreciate God for where he's taking.
The preceding message was brought to you by Kingswood Ministries International. For information about Kingswood Ministries, visit us at kingswood.org. For information and additional resources. Thank you for listening to this message. And remember, where the word of a king is, there's power.